Thanks so much, Pastor, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate the church, too. You guys have all been a blessing to me, praying for me, and just your kindness. It's a blessing to be able to serve here. Tonight, I want us to turn to 2 Kings in our Bible, 2 Kings chapter number 19. I want us to read some verses, and I want us to look at a few thoughts that God spoke to me about, just through some Bible reading and some thoughts for the new year, and I won't be too long. I know we have our goal to end supposedly at 10, and so we'll, there we go, before midnight, all right. 2 Kings chapter 19, and just a little bit of background while you're turning, here in our story, we have the Assyrian army has basically lined themselves up to siege or besiege Jerusalem, and they had already conquered the kingdom of Israel, and now they're coming for the kingdom of Judah. And Hezekiah is the king, and the Rabshakeh, the general there, he's coming forward, and he's really giving them a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, telling them he's about to attack. And let's pick up our story in 2 Kings chapter 19, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, unto Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." Notice Hezekiah realized it wasn't just a personal attack on him or on the Jewish people. It was a personal attack on the God of heaven. Let's keep reading. Verse 5 says, "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah." And let's skip over to verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, and they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee." And just for time's sake, again, let's skip over to verse 35. In verse 35, it says, verse 34, God says this. He's talking now through the prophet Isaiah. The Lord says, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake." I want you to get that phrase, "for mine own sake, and for my servants David's sake." "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, that's 185,000 soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead." As we look at this text, somewhat of a familiar story to most of us here, I believe. A lot of great themes here. I think we can look at a great theme of prayer. The fact that this great trouble that Hezekiah and the kingdom of Judah faced, this great trial, as David just preached about, that they faced, they took it before the Lord. When Hezekiah got the letter, got the report that Sennacherib and his army were ready to siege Jerusalem, ready to attack. And by the way, Hezekiah knew from history that the Assyrian army, they meant business. The Bible says he spread it before the Lord. He prayed. He prayed. You know, oftentimes when we have troubles, the first thing we do is we call a friend. Maybe call parents, or maybe talk it over with our husband, our spouse, our wife. And that's fine. We should have people in our lives that we try to encourage us. But you know who's really going to fix the situation? It's the Lord of heaven. It's the God that's in control of the universe. Why don't we go to him? I think sometimes we go to him, but we don't go to him enough. Why do we stop praying? We pray one time and say, all right, Lord, I guess you're not going to answer that prayer. I'll just stop praying. No, let's pray with a fervency, an urgency. You know, in Hezekiah's day, the common thing to do is you rent your clothes in sackcloth and ashes. And we don't do that in our culture necessarily. But I think we need to get serious about prayer. Hey, I think we need to get serious about our prayer life. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray with that fervency, that burden from heaven. So we can learn a lot of important lessons about prayer. I think for our church in this coming new year, why don't we make prayer a key part of our lives? Yeah. Hey, our church, if it's going to go forward, it's going to have to be a praying church. Yeah. It's going to have to be a praying church. Right. Parents are going to have to pray with their kids, teach their kids how to pray, yeah. Teach their kids how to get a hold of the God of heaven, amen. Who, by the way, wants to hear and answer our prayers. See, in our story here in verse number 20, 2 Kings 19 and verse 20 says, Hezekiah, the son of Amoz, sent Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. You know something? God moved in that situation. You know why he moved? Partly because Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah prayed. What victories can we see in our church and our families if we would pray? What victories would we see accomplished? What great things would we see accomplished if we just prayed? Yeah. You know, I am encouraged by our pastor because he has a burden for prayer. He really does. And he'll tell you that's how this work continues forward is through prayer. And he and I, we meet for prayer every day of the week, just about. And we meet and we pray. We get a hold of the God of heaven. And he prays some prayers that's like, wow. He's praying for that. You know, me and him and Dave, we pray. We pray for this whole block that God will give it to us someday. Amen. And you know what Pastor says when he prays? He quotes scripture. Lord, you said you have not because you ask not. Right. Hey, let's pray with that kind of faith. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's pray not just about getting this block. Let's pray for the souls that need to be won. Yeah. Families that need to be transformed, that need God to step in and change the situation. Amen. Prayer is important. Trusting God is important. You can't pray without trusting God. You know, we didn't look at it, but our character here, Hezekiah, he wasn't trusting God in 2 Kings 18, if you study it out. He was trusting in trying to pay off the Assyrians. He was trusting in Egypt coming in to help him, perhaps. He had to come to that point where he realized, they can't help. That's not going to change anything. I need to put my trust in God and God alone. And so it is for us. We need to realize those things in our lives that, you know what, that's not going to help. I need to put my trust in God alone. Amen. Not my own wisdom, but trust in God's wisdom. But I'll get to my main idea tonight. I want us to look at verse 34, 2 Kings 19, verse 34. God did this great miracle, sent an angel to defeat 185,000 soldiers, well-trained soldiers that were known as just the strongest army on the face of the earth at that point. Conquering lands, and in one night, they were all dead corpses. How did this happen? Why did this happen, rather? God said in verse 34, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know, the Lord gripped me when I read those words because, and it kind of dovetails with what David's been preaching, and he preached a message Sunday night about this too, that we oftentimes focus on, Lord, we need you to change this situation, and we make the situation the goal. Lord, we need you to save this soul, and that's the only goal is that soul being saved. Lord, we need you to provide for this financial need, and that's the only goal. Listen, that's a byproduct of the goal. The goal is the glory of his name. Amen. The goal should be the glory of God. Right. that God's name be glorified. Hey, in this new year, we're praying for things to happen. We're praying for souls to be saved. We're praying for offerings to go up, for missionaries to be supported. We're praying for backsliders to return back to the fold. Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. That's what it's all about. And hey, guess what? Whether 10 souls are saved this coming year or 100 souls are saved, hey, to God be the glory. Hey, his name, that's what it's all about. It's not about, well, Bible Baptist Church, we need to get our name out there. We need to really make people know our name. It's not about that. I think of another great king, King David, before he was a king, when he faced off against Goliath. And he was just a young man, and he went forward, and he said this. He would defeat Goliath, not so the world would know about David, what a great man he is, what a great warrior he was. He said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's what it's about, is the glory of God. Let's make that the focus, the goal. Lord, this situation, Lord, I pray you change it, but I pray you be glorified. I pray for this soul to be saved, but Lord, we want you to be glorified through that. We pray for that which would bring your name glory. Even the second half of this verse, which says, and for my servant David's sake, it's not just for David's sake. You know why he says that? God made David a promise. God made a covenant with David. God is saying here, I'm going to defend my promise. I'm going to prove to you and prove to the world that I keep my covenants. I keep my promises. That's what it's about. So it all comes back to God. It's all about God. And I pray that in our church, in this new year, that we have that focus. Lord, it's all about your name. To your name be the glory. Trials come. Good things come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name would be glorified. And my prayer is that God would do great things, because I believe great things bring glory to God. Souls being saved bring glory to God. Hey, God's people assembling together bring glory to God. So let's make that our focus as we go about our lives, as we go about as a church, individually, as families gathered here, that we do things that which would bring glory to God's name. Let's be defenders of God's glory. Amen. Let's be zealous to protect his glory, not to bring shame to his name. Let's make that our aim, our focus in this new year. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for your glory, for your name. And Father God, we pray that you'd be lifted up in this place. But our prayer is for a revival that would sweep through and touch our land, and that people around this nation would bring glory to you, would turn to you, would repent to you. We just pray, Lord, that you would help each one gathered here tonight. Lord, those here that maybe don't know you as Savior, we pray that salvation, Lord, would be real to them, that they would come to that place of believing on Jesus. We pray, Lord, for Christians, that they would be stirred to be defenders of your glory, to be zealous of your glory. And I pray, Lord, we would be praying people, trusting people, that all that we do would lift up your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.